themselves. What's up, Wisconsin? I'm Maggie Dawn. How y'all doing today? Happy Friday. We got a Brewers game tonight. Not so nice outside, but don't worry. We got a roof. Thank goodness. Yuck. Bunch of stuff happening today. Last day of our special Earth Week coverage. I'm going to be joined, as I have all week, with special guests to celebrate Earth Week, which with each and every one of you. I've got a friend from the Center for Climate Justice, their managing attorney, who has been helping to lead some of the lawsuits we've seen filed coast to coast against big oil. So Corey Reday White will be joining me, as well as Dean Muller, who is helping to lead the charge for climate accountability and conservation accountability here in the state of Wisconsin. So really excited to have them. Just recall that I'm giving away something kind of fun this week on the show in honor of Earth Week. I myself have taken to carrying around a trash picker when I go for a walk in my hood so I can pick up the trash. So I thought only appropriate that each and every one of you would have a chance to qualify to get one of three free trash pickers. If you'd like to be entered this last day in the drawing for those trash pickers, please text us only via the app. Say hi to Anya for me and give us your name, email address, and cell phone number. And we will get you entered to win. We'll let folks know sometime between the end of the show today and Monday-ish. Do not worry. We will be in touch. But do text us and enter to win. Help us celebrate Earth Week here in Wisconsin, because all of us love the beautiful outdoors. It's where we spend so much of our free time. We are a state rooted in conservation. But on Wednesday, I had wanted to share with you some of the data surrounding the consequences of what Trump says. Frankly, what are the consequences when he attacks judges and lawyers and court staff and their families? How does it get amplified? And I think, you know, it would only be appropriate to ground ourselves in the fact that in 2018, Donald Trump was very clear about saying that he is not above the law. So this, Anya, is cut one. Let's just start there.
No, I'm not above the law. I never want anybody to be above the law.
Okay. That's a good place to start, right? Okay. I'm not above the law. I don't want anybody to be above the law. And yet, at seemingly every and any possible turn, Donald Trump attacks the legal system. I'm not above the law, but don't hold me accountable under the law. And whatever you do, don't subject me to any legal processes, because I'm not above the law except when I want to be, especially yesterday in the Supreme Court, where I'll have my lawyer argue that I have basically immunity from everything. I know I was pushing Anya late this afternoon to maybe find some of the sound about Trump yesterday talking about this very thing. I think this is cut 11. Anya, let's take a look. So Trump, 2018, I'm not above the law. Of course, between now and then, he's attacked basically every single part of the judicial system. And as we discussed yesterday in our first hour, yeah, his lawyers are in the Supreme Court claiming that basically he's a king and can do anything he wants while he's president. And you all heard me get pretty upset about what I heard and what I think is going to happen based on the oral arguments in the court that I listened to yesterday. And apparently, Donald Trump thinks my take was pretty right, because here is what he had to say yesterday after the Supreme Court arguments.
But the U.S. Supreme Court had a monumental hearing on immunity and the immunity having to do.
We'll get some more of that. Let me give you the full quote.
We're
as we
come back to that. Yep.
That's all right. As we look to grab more of that. So this is after his, I think, seventh or eighth day in court on the voter manipulation case in New York City. He said, We heard the first part of this. The Supreme Court had a monumental hearing on immunity and the immunity having to do with presidential immunity. He goes on to say, I think it was made clear, and I hope it is very clear, that a president has to have immunity. Without any immunity, the president would just be nothing more than a ceremonial position. That's not what the founders had in mind. We want presidents that can get quite amazing. Huh? I mean, what? Quite amazing. I'm all for amazing, just not criminally amazing. You know what I'm saying? Anya, let me know when we get more of that quote, but I think we're ready to go. We are ready to go. Let's take a listen. Again, Trump in 2018, I'm not above the law. Lawyers yesterday, yes, he is above the law. And Trump late yesterday afternoon after his courtroom hearing on the voter manipulation case had this to say.
But the U.S. Supreme Court had a monumental hearing on immunity and the immunity having to do with presidential immunity. And I think it was made clear, I hope it was made clear, that a president has to have immunity. You don't have a president, or at most you can say it would be a ceremonial president. That's not what the founders had in mind. They're not talking about ceremonial. We want presidents that can get things done and bring people together. So I heard the meeting was...
Oh, that's what you do is... That's your brand, Donald Trump, bringing people together. The unity president, if you will. This is all nonsense, right? There's no consistency in what this man says day over day. It's simply, which way does the wind blow today that'll best serve my interests? I've said to you before, if you want to know what Donald Trump's policy platform is, just ask yourself, today, what is in Donald Trump's financial and political power interests? And you'll know what his policy position is. It's really that simple. And I couldn't let it go yesterday. I got off the air and I just remained bothered by the whole thing. So as I am wont to do as a lawyer, as a person who cares about words and things, I sat down and I read the transcript as if I hadn't spent enough time listening to the Supreme Court arguments yesterday morning for nearly 4 hours. I sat down and read the transcript of the arguments yesterday. And again, I walled myself off from reading any other commentary about the arguments. And I sat down and I wrote what my opinion is, my take on what the Supreme Court justices yesterday, the male justices, nearly exclusively the men. Amy Coney Barrett, again, to her credit, seemed to understand that we've got a wee bit of a problem here. This might actually be kind of dangerous. But the five MAGA men on the Supreme Court, they're all in on this idea that we, at least to in some respects, have a king, not a president, that there is a man above the law. So I wrote an opinion piece about it. If you go to civicmedia.us, you can read it. Yeah, it's long, but I think it's kind of a fun read. It's got the Maggie tone to it, if you will, Ani. You know what I'm saying?
The spice. It's got the kick. It's got all the flavor you want. Oh, yeah.
It's got flavor. It's Civic Media's first op-ed that we've put out as a media network. So go to civicmedia.us. Whatever your local station is, you can go to like WAUK.com. You can click to get our daily news updates. You can get access to the opinion pieces like mine there. Go check it out. Share it with your friends and family, because I think it's a pretty overwhelming case why what happened yesterday before the Supreme Court is, in my words, an abomination. But let's hear what you all have to say. I'm interested in your reactions, questions. 855-75-CIVIC. That's 855-752-4842. Mark, my friend, I didn't have time yesterday. I was going off on my own rant. Thank you for being patient. Mark from Prairie du Sac, what do you have to say this afternoon?
Yeah, thank you so much. Yeah, it bothers me. It befuddles me as well. I don't know what the right word is, at least to remain FCC compliant, that these guys that claim to be Federalists and claim to be strict obstructionists are ignoring the warnings that cry out, at least to me, in the Federalist Papers, where Hamilton pens in 69 that the president, you know, is a elected officer elected by the people for 4 years, and would be one would be amenable to personal punishment and disgrace, and then he offsets against what a monarch would be. And further, and they go on and just say, and there's other places as well, like in 75, where he talks about a man, an avaricious man, or a man seeking personal aggrandizement, which is Donald Trump to a T. I mean, that they were aware of this kind of thing, the dangers in a democracy, that a demagogue might come in and try to take over.
Yeah, this is what many of the founders wrote extensively about, Mark. Couldn't agree with you more. Yes, they were concerned about a president being able to take decisive, bold action. But there's nothing that indicates that after a president is out of office, and I mean nothing, literally nothing, that indicates that a president after leaving office is somehow permanently immune from even the most egregious crimes that he may have committed while in the Oval Office. One of the hypotheticals discussed yesterday, which Trump's lawyers said, yeah, that's probably immune unless he's impeached and convicted by the Senate before he's criminally charged, is that a president could direct the military to effectively take over the election apparatus, stage a coup, and put himself into power permanently. Okay, so could he dissolve the Senate with the military, dissolve the House of Representatives, you know, just set up an autocracy by sheer force and command of the military, and gee whiz, there's no Senate, there's no House to even impeach and convict him. That's all fine, says Donald Trump's lawyer. Cindy from Appleton, you're on the Maggie Dawn Show. What do you have to say?
Well, this is appalling, disgusting, and terrifying, because the top law, constitutional law people, supposedly, who are on our Supreme Court, are going to allow this man to get away with basically murder. And if he were to get reelected, God help us all, he would become absolutely untouchable, and he would be horrific for.
That's exactly the problem. We're going to listen to what Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson had to say about that very hypothetical. Cindy, stay on the line.
Liar, liar, the world's on fire. What you gonna do when it all burns down? Fire, fire, burning higher. Still got time to turn it all around.
Anybody deal with, like, feel like we're dealing with a little bit of stuff burning down? I don't know. I feel the heat a little bit. This ain't good. This is deeply problematic. And not only did Donald Trump, of course, say in 2018, I'm not above the law, no one's above the law, and then basically throw that out the window when he was actually caught doing illegal things and criminally charged. Then now it's I'm immune, presidents are kings, forget all that. But here's the other thing, lest any of us forget. If you're on the phones, please hang there. If you want to join the conversation, 855-75-CIVIC. Remember this, Mitch McConnell, majority leader of the Senate, back when Donald Trump was impeached, got on the floor of the Senate and said, well, you know, impeachment is for these very narrow things. And while Donald Trump is morally and legally accountable for January 6th, we're a country of laws. And presidents aren't immune. Should we remind ourselves of what he said back then? This is February 13th, 2021. Anya, this is cut 12. Let's see what Mitch McConnell said to justify his acquittal vote in the Senate back then.
Put another way, in the language of today, President Trump is still liable for everything he did while he was in office as an ordinary citizen, unless the statute of limitations is run, still liable for everything he did while he was in office. didn't get away with anything yet.
Oops. Oops. Why was Mitch McConnell saying that? Because from the dawn of American history, everybody has assumed that presidents can be held criminally liable after they're out of office for crimes committed in office. That's why Tricky Dick was pardoned by Gerald Ford. It's what the Office of Legal Counsel of the DOJ has said every single time. They've opined on this very issue. In other words, I would argue that our constitutional framework has been tricked, abused, misused, and misled, that we, the voters, by extension, have been misled because many, many senators said and assumed, well, he'll face liability after he's out of office. So we don't need to actually convict him and remove him. Like, if that's not true, does the vote on impeachment change? That's the whole problem here. Dick from Madison, you're on the Maggie Dawn Show. What do you have to say?
Well, in the case of McConnell, too, didn't he at one point just defer totally to the Democrats? Oh, the Democrats will take care of this. Yeah. But yesterday, if it wasn't just absolutely chilling to anybody that listened to even half of it, but the guy that really just galls me the most is Clarence Thomas, the Sphinx, yeah. I call him. He basically says nothing and brings nothing to the equation. But of course you know how he's going to vote because he's covering for his insurrectionist wife.
Yeah, why he's not per se conflicted out of hearing this case is beyond me. We had a justice that conflicted themselves out and didn't hear the Nixon case when it came up to the Supreme Court. But apparently Clarence Thomas, the billionaire boy on the Supreme Court, No. I'll just stay put. Because what I have to say is more important. Andrew from Maine. Hi, Andrew. Texting in, what's stopping Biden from simply sending SEAL Team 6 to pick up Trump and send him to Gitmo pending a heart attack? Let's just wait perhaps months for the Supreme Court to figure this one out. By the way, I break down in my op-ed some of the technical arguments that were getting made yesterday and why that's going to unquestionably delay. I'm not just talking about how long the Supreme Court justices are going to twiddle their thumbs around before they issue what is bound to be a plurality, meaning fractured decision without a clear consensus on the court. They're going to take forever to do that. But it's there. I am nearly certain, and I explain why in my op-ed, that, they're going to require some additional hearings and processes and things back in the trial court. And then, of course, those will get appealed, right? Again, chance is zero in this lady's opinion that we see one scintilla of evidence presented in a court of law about the most serious crime committed against our country and each and every American before we go to the polling places on November 5th. That is a destabilized democracy. Andrew also saying we need a new constitutional amendment. The president, vice president, and all elected officials at all levels are accountable to the laws of the United States and their subsidiary states, counties, cities, and municipalities. One would think, Andrew. One would think. Yeah, this is where we're at. If we've got time, I know Anya's picking up a call. I want to listen to Justice Jackson, as she often does, put it all on the line, clear as a stinking bell, yesterday during oral arguments. Anya, we're going to look to have Justice Brown Jackson's clip, which is cut 6. She breaks it down, tells us exactly where we're going to wind up once this Supreme Court, the billionaire boys on the Supreme Court, do away with this idea that we've all operated under since the founding of our country, that presidents can be held criminally liable after they're out of office. Do we have enough time for it, or should we? Oh, we do. Let's listen to it. Here's Justice Jackson yesterday.
If the potential for criminal liability is taken off the table, wouldn't there be a significant risk that future presidents would be emboldened to commit crimes with abandon while they're in office? It's right now the fact that we're having this debate because OLC has said that presidents might be prosecuted. Presidents from the beginning of time have understood that that's a possibility. That might be what has kept this office from turning into the kind of crime center that I'm envisioning. But once we say, no criminal liability, Mr. President, you can do whatever you want, I'm worried that we would have a worse problem than the problem of the president feeling constrained to follow the law while he's in office.
Yeah. So here's my challenge to any one of you out there. Take whatever line of questioning, whatever argument you heard from the five MAGA men on the court or Trump's lawyer, and put it up to the clarity, concision, and absolute reality check, the mic drop that Justice Jackson just gave us there. You would be incentivizing criminality, is her point, made eloquently and in under a minute. We might even take another listen of it because it's that important. I'm Maggie Dawn. Don't go anywhere. Kurt from Madison, I see you on the line. I'm going to take you after everybody's farm update and a few important messages back here on the Maggie Dawn Show in just a few minutes. Welcome back, Wisconsin. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. You're going to want to stick around. We're going to give away some Brewers tickets for the game against the Yankees on Saturday. Not quite yet. This hour, I'm continuing to talk about the Supreme Court hearing yesterday, in large part because it's been basically the only thing on my mind as an attorney over the last day and a half. I just can't stop thinking about what I heard yesterday. I'm scared. I'm literally scared because of this. Before break, we listened to Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson explain why what the five MAGA men, the bought and paid for billionaire buddies, the bros on the Supreme Court. And by the way, it was basically the five dudes and then the women. The five dudes and the four ladies, Kagan Sotomayor, Jackson, and Amy Coney Barrett. The women were the only reasonable sounding people in that courtroom yesterday. Well, and the lawyer for the U.S. Department of Justice. Let's listen again to what Justice Jackson had to say. If you want to join our conversation, 855-75-CIVIC. Kurt, you're up next, 855-752-4842. Again, here's Justice Jackson laying it out really clearly so that you can hear in the back, all the way in the back, she's explaining the problem with the type of immunity that President Trump thinks presidents should have.
If the potential for criminal liability is taken off the table, wouldn't there be a significant risk that future presidents would be emboldened to commit crimes with abandon while they're in office? It's right now the fact that we're having this debate because OLC has said that presidents might be prosecuted. Presidents from the beginning of time have understood that that's a possibility. That might be what has kept this office from turning into the kind of crime center that I'm envisioning. But once we say, no criminal liability, Mr. President, you can do whatever you want, I'm worried that we would have a worse problem than the problem of the president feeling constrained to follow the law while he's in office.
Yup. What? To the five dudes on the court, the dead weight on the court. Hello. Was her mic on yesterday? Did you hear her? Because legitimately, and I explained this in the very first part of my op-ed, the five billionaire boys, billionaire bought and paid for dudes on the court, all they do yesterday is fall all over themselves with the idea that, oh my goodness, a president might be prosecuted. We can't rely on the legal system to ensure that he's not unfairly prosecuted. He might actually think that he has to constrain his actions within the bounds of the law. And by the way, I don't mean that cheekily. And listen, Justice Sotomayor points out this makes this point brilliantly. She made it yesterday. Our legal system ain't perfect. But that's as core of an underpinning of our democracy as the presidency itself. Let's listen to Justice Sotomayor. This is going to be clip 8. Then I'm going to go to the phones. If you want to join the conversation, 855-752-4842. This is Justice Sotomayor yesterday.
A stable democratic society needs the good faith of its public officials, correct?
Absolutely.
And that good faith assumes that they will follow the law.
Correct.
Now, putting that aside, there is no fail-safe system of government, meaning we have a judicial system that has layers and layers and layers of protection for accused defendants in the hopes that the innocent will go free. We fail routinely, but we succeed more often than not. In the vast majority of cases, the innocent do go free. Sometimes they don't, and we have some post-conviction remedies for that. But we still fail. We've executed innocent people. Having said that, Justice Alito went through, step by step, all of the mechanisms that could potentially fail. In the end, if it fails completely, it's because we've destroyed our democracy on our own, isn't it?
It is, Justice Sotomayor, and I also think that there are additional checks in the system. Of course, the constitutional framers designed a separated powers system in order to limit abuses. I think one of the ways in which abuses are limited is accountability under the criminal law for criminal violations. But the ultimate check is the goodwill and faith in democracy. And crimes that are alleged in this case that are the antithesis of democracy, that subvert it, undermine that.
An encouragement to believe words that have been somewhat put into suspicion here, that no man is above the law, either in his official or private acts.
I think that is an assumption of the Constitution.
I don't know about you all, but yeah. At root, there are two risks which must be balanced and confronted. This is what the framers were considering. The risk that a president won't act in a certain way at a certain point in time where there is legal gray area in the best interests of the country, assuming good faith, because the president may face criminal prosecution. Despite that, the president has access to infinite legal advice from the best legal minds on the planet. That's one risk. The other risk is that if we say a president is a king when he's in the Oval Office, gee, bad faith actor, you know, might start to commit all manner of unseemly crimes, perhaps even to keep himself in power. And if our republic stands powerless to hold him accountable, say because he resigns right before he's impeached, or because the Senate relies upon the fact that presidents have been criminally liable by all accounts, from the beginning of our country and then fails to convict him when impeached, our republic has failed. Our democracy has failed. If the protections, which are nearly infinite within our legal system for crimes of this manner, of prosecutions at this level, fail, our democracy has failed. Donald Trump and his cronies won't even let the American public see the evidence tested in court. That, my friends, is the ultimate check against the out-of-control political prosecutor. Listen, it isn't fun to be investigated by law enforcement. It isn't pleasant to go through a criminal prosecution. Ask any poor defendant who's had to line up with a public defender. But that, my friends, is the way that it works. And if we believe that no man is above the law until apparently yesterday, what the hell are we even talking about? It doesn't have to be this way. And it shouldn't be this way. Kurt from Madison, thank you for your patience. You're on the Maggie Dawn Show.
Two quick comments and then a question. The first comment is when Barrett, I'm mixing up the justices. I like beer justice, made the comment about, how well the Nixon pardon went. I don't understand why the lawyers said, didn't immediately counter and saying, yeah, look how bad that went. This is why we're here. Because if that would have been the other way around, we wouldn't be having this conversation. So the question I have is, I watched the hearings before these people got anointed to their position. They clearly lied in front of Congress. So when is it going to happen when they get pushed forward for impeachment? Because I hope the Democrats don't go lame like we often do. If we get control of the House and the Senate, I expect them to do exactly that.
So would I, Kurt. And I wasn't there until yesterday. I wasn't even close. But what I heard yesterday was academic balderdash, bloviating nonsense that was so high up in the ivory tower and so bending of the knee to the Federalist Society and all of this yammering academic baloney that would deny the very facts staring them in the face of what this man did to threaten our freedoms. Because believe me, this is about freedom. If we cannot hold the most powerful person in our country accountable, none of us is truly free. Not a one of us. And this contortionist, again, theoretical musings, and it was so revolting to me. The court need not entertain these hypotheticals. The court need not, in Justice Gorsuch's self-congratulatory words yesterday, create a decision for the ages, is what he said. You think their egos are in check? Oh, this Gorsuch, Kavanaugh, that's the I like beer guy. Gorsuch, Kavanaugh, and Alito repeatedly, numerous times, all cited in my op-ed, by the way, said things like, well, I'm not worried about this case. This is so beyond this. This is about the power of the presidency. And this isn't about, not this case. I'm worried about the theoretical questions here. I'm sorry, say what? Why don't you, and the Supreme Court could very easily do this, constrain yourself to the case before you, the facts before you, and conclude easily that what this man did does not have any even close argument that it is immune behavior or actions for three fundamental reasons. what he was doing went totally beyond any Article II powers ever conceived of or discussed. Because, oh, by the way, U.S. presidents have no powers or authority over the conduct of elections. Historically, that makes sense, since when our country was founded, there weren't term limits. So you would have created kind of a weird conflict if presidents had power to decide how elections were run and they could be president forever, you know, kind of like a king. So this isn't a core Article II power. You can't even be, what he did had nothing to do with any of that. What he did was clearly intended by, you could ask any person on the street, well, what was he doing? Well, he was making sure he got reelected because he believed he got reelected, or didn't and didn't care. But it was about him as a candidate. Why do we know that? Because his campaign filed dozens of lawsuits and not a single one of them came even close to showing one legal argument or one fact or piece of evidence that would have changed the outcome of the election. He was acting as a candidate. And we know this, that they just could look at the facts here, because thirdly, he ignored repeated, unequivocally clear legal advice from his authorized government lawyers, from the DOJ, the Attorney General's office, and White House counsel, that he had no legal or factual basis to continue to claim that the election had not been won by Joe Biden. And they advised him repeatedly and clearly to stop lying to the American people. This isn't close, people. They could simply constrain their discussion there, find no immunity, and let us all get back to some kind of normal. Not what happened. We'll finish our discussion when we come back after these brief messages. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Mike, I see you. Welcome back, Wisconsin. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. All of this matters. These aren't theoretical arguments. We arguably had a criminal running the White House anyways. You think it's going to get better if the Supreme Court's like, well, you know, the president's immune? If you're a conservative, why would you want that either? Unless, oh, wait, here, I'm going to say the unspoken part, the thing that we're not actually supposed to say out loud. Yeah, everybody ready? Press record here. Here's why conservatives don't care if the president's immune. Because no Democratic president would try to do the thing that Donald Trump just did. I'm going to say that one more time. No Democratic president would try to do the thing that Donald Trump just tried to do. They would never threaten our entire democracy to satisfy their own ego, wealth, and power hunger. I'm not saying that presidents won't cross a line. I'm saying that they all should be held accountable. If you think Biden's a criminal, then why would you want this either? And his rhetoric, this ridiculous capitulation and repetition of these stupid arguments, are striking at the heart of the strength of our legal system. Some facts, and then I'm going to go to the phones. 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. The average number of threats to federal judges rose from 1,000, average annual number of threats to federal judges rose from about 1,200 in the decade prior to Trump's campaign in 2016 to nearly 4,000 in the 7 years after he declared in 2015. In all, since he declared in 2015, the U.S. Marshals have documented nearly 27,000 threatening and harassing communications targeting federal courts, judges, lawyers, and court officials from the fall of 2015 to the fall of 2022, a volume they consider unprecedented in their 234-year history. by the way, most states don't even track the threats against state court judges. So I'm just talking about the federal judicial system. Since just late 2020, when Trump has really ramped up the rhetoric, serious threats against federal judges alone have more than doubled from 220 in 2020 to nearly 500 in 2023. All of this matters. Mike from Muskoka, you're on the Maggie Dawn Show. What do you have to say?
Thank you for taking my call, Maggie. Is this the same Conjee Brown Jackson that was asked by Senator Blackburn to describe what a woman is? Is this the same Supreme Court justice?
Yes.
And she can't describe what a woman was or is?
What does that have to do with what we're talking about today, Mike?
Then how much credibility
is it? We can have... What she's talking about, Mike, is the fact that gender for some people isn't necessarily the gender that they're born with. I can do a whole show on that. We can spend 2-3 hours on it, Mike. Love to have that discussion with you. What I'm asking you, Mike, is do we have kings in the United States? I want to know your answer. Do we have kings in the United States?
That's not what I'm...
Okay. Bye, Mike. Caleb from Mostyn, you're on the Maggie Dawn Show.
Is that me? I'm sorry, it's Carolyn.
Oh, I'm sorry, Carolyn. Got you queued up wrong. Carolyn from Mostyn, welcome to the Maggie Dawn Show. I'm sorry for getting your name wrong.
No, not a problem. I wasn't sure if you're calling me. Anyways, my comment was I have become a single issue person, which is voting rights, over the years because I realized that's the only way we can make change. And now I've changed that to Supreme Court justices being held accountable for what I consider illegal actions. Taking gifts from wealthy people is illegal. I couldn't do that. You know, I'd be thrown in jail. There was a sociologist years ago who wrote about she embedded herself with the wealthy managers. And her name is Brooke Herrington, who found out how wealthy people hide their money. And I'll betcha couple of Supreme Court justices or more have hidden money offshore created by these wealthy people that they're
that's the Panama Papers, Carolyn. Go have a fun rabbit hole read about that over the weekend. I don't mean to scare you, but yes, very much so. Catherine from Madison, hi friend. Welcome to the Maggie Dawn Show.
Hi, Maggie. Thanks so much for your show. I really appreciate your coverage of this vital issue. It's so important. But I was calling because I remember the Iran-Contra affair. And you're probably familiar with that in the 80s Reagan?
I do not recall. Yeah. Oliver North, I do not recall.
Okay. Yep. Yeah, and actually, in order to fund these sales that were illegal, according to our government, of weapons to fund for the Iran and so forth, they sold drugs. They ran like almost a cartel. And Ollie North was famous because he had several thousand dollars he couldn't account for. And he said it was spare change in his drawer at desk, So I'm just thinking, if this was happening under our current system where, supposedly the president and all could be held liable, what would happen? Couldn't they just run like a whole illegal empire on the side that would not be accountable to anything? And it just seems like if they've already done it, and if you knew that you were not accountable, it would be even worse, because there's a lot of financial advantage to this. So,
yeah, that's the point. Couple of things about Iran-Contra, Whitewater, Monica Lewinsky, as well as the Valerie Plame special counsel investigations. Those respectively were under Ronald Reagan, Bill Clinton, and G.W. Bush. Most scholars agree that the special counsels went sort of haywire in those investigations. Now, I don't disagree with our friend Catherine from Madison that Iran-Contra raised some deeply disturbing facts, but the special counsel's office has been significantly curtailed since that time to ensure that you do not have political investigations, political prosecutions. Clearly, folks have a ton to say about this. I will revisit it maybe at the end of the hour. But because it's Earth Week, we're going to take a little break from all of this constitutional doomsday saying, doomsaying, and bring on our friends from the Center for Climate Integrity after news, weather, and sports here at the top of the hour. My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Don't go anywhere. We're going to give away some Brewers tickets. Make your weekend better than what my week has been.